Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. So now fighting for tech talent out there, the makers of turbines, tools, and Toyotas. The search for tech talent is reaching far beyond Silicon Valley. Look at how firms from industrial giants to car makers are rethinking the way they recruit as they compete for workers. But first, these tech headlines. SoftBank Vision Fund will invest $2.25 billion in GM's driverless car unit. This comes as the car maker battles tech companies and startups in a race to commercialize autonomous vehicles. GM said the tech investment fund will take 19.6% in GM Cruise Holdings, a newly formed entity primarily made up of Cruise Automation. That's the driverless car developer that GM acquired in early 2016. The Vision Fund's investment values the business at $11.5 billion. In other autonomous news, Waymo plans to dramatically increase the number of driverless vehicles it has on the road in the coming years. It has announced a deal to buy as many as 62,000 minivans from Fiat Chrysler. The move also marks the beginning of discussions between Fiat and Waymo, which of course is the self-driving vehicle division of Google parent Alphabet. The goal is to sell fully self-driving cars to customers. The talks, which aren't exclusive, represent the first known effort by Waymo to follow through on such an endeavor, which Waymo says would eventually be part of its business model. And the inaugural Management Top 250 delivered a clear message. Among big companies, the tech giants are the best managed. The top three spots in the ranking went to Amazon, Apple, and Alphabet, and tech companies took seven of the top 10 spots. The Management Top 250 ranking, compiled by the Drucker Institute, examines how well a business does in five areas that reflect Mr. Drucker's core principles: customer satisfaction, employee engagement and development, innovation, social responsibility, and financial strength. All of the top seven tech companies scored in the highest tier in at least two of the five categories, and all seven did so in innovation. Amazon was powered to the top of the rankings by its innovation score. Coming up, in the fight for tech talent out there, companies are starting to think outside the box. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
According to the Wall Street Journal's Lauren Weber, the tussle over technology talent is reaching far beyond Silicon Valley these days. Here to talk about how some of the biggest industrial giants and car makers are rethinking how they compete with traditional tech outfits is the Wall Street Journal's Lauren Weber, joining us in the podcast studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
First off, just to get a feel of what's out there in the tech world, what are some of the most sought after skills and expertise right now? What are employers really looking for?
Employers are looking for anything related to artificial intelligence,
sure.
Robotics, machine learning, deep learning, kind of next level computer skills, computer programming that can help them build the innovations for the future.
So all the key, you know, usual suspect buzz techie words are all there. Those are big shoes to fill, obviously. So I understand the recruitment structure as it's been, it's made things really hard for employers to fill these roles. Why is it so hard? Is it that talent isn't being trained fast enough? And if it is there, it's being grabbed up? Is it that weird catch-22 that's out there?
It really is a supply and demand issue. For the most part.
Okay.
Universities are not graduating enough of the kinds of workers with the expertise and skills that companies are looking for. And the kinds of people I focused on in the story, these are like PhD level scientists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's more people coming out with bachelor's degrees in computer science and mathematics and things like that. But the really advanced level skills, PhDs in robotics and applied math, things like that, the numbers are just incredibly small. The National Science Foundation tracks the doctorates that are awarded in the U.S., and in 2016, only 120 people received PhDs in robotics. They weren't even tracking it in 2010 because the field was so new. So, you know, the problem is for employers, you don't have to be a technology company now to need those people.
Right.
Automobile companies need them. Tool companies need them. You know, century-old companies are looking for the same workers that the Googles and Facebooks are looking for. So the demand is really, really high. The competition is very high. Wages are rising really fast. And then on top of that, you get the issue that Americans are less mobile than they used to be. So not everybody will move across the country or move to the middle of the country to pursue a job, even if you're going to pay them a lot of money. There's more dual career families. You know, there are, you know, you have kids in a school, you're settled in a place, especially if you've just spent 10 years getting your PhD in something. You know, it's hard to lure people from a city or a job where they might be happy.
That brings up a good point because, you know, as such, a lot of companies need to think outside the box. And let's take an example that you heard about, Toyota. Sometimes you take the jobs to the tech workers. Can you talk about that one strategy for starters?
Sure. Toyota, a few years ago, started something called the Toyota Research Institute to handle all of their research in autonomous vehicles and robotics. And, you know, Detroit was not the place for that. So they opened offices in Cambridge to be near MIT, in Silicon Valley to be near Stanford, and in Ann Arbor to be near the University of Michigan. So they brought those centers and those jobs and a lot of money for research to the universities that are really doing the kinds of cutting-edge research where they can find the people that they need for those jobs.
And, you know, just to get a feel of some of the other strategies out there, you write about a company like Siemens with big tech jobs to fill, and it's really working through this hiring process. Can you talk about some of the strategies they're coming up with in terms of feeling out the tech hirees out there?
Yeah, I mean, again, they're partnering with universities. They're sending more of their scientists out to those schools to give talks, to make connections with professors. They're also, I mean, they're pitched to a lot of these PhD students and researchers, many of whom are probably considering careers in academia, don't necessarily want to join the corporate world.
Right.
They're saying to them, look, you can work on, you know, this kind of pure research, these research questions that you want to devote your life to. You're not going to be designing products for us. And the idea is that the kinds of research that these high-level scientists are doing, you know, years down the road might end up, you know, in applications for some of the products, but they're really giving people a lot of freedom to choose what they're going to want to work on. I mean, it has to be somewhat related to the kinds of problems that Siemens is tackling. So that's a big pit. That's a big part of the pitch.
There's a lot of insight in this new tech hiring world in Lauren's article, so I encourage listeners to check it out at WSJ.com. Lauren, thanks so much.
Thanks.
That does it for the Tech News Briefing for now. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.